Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My goal has always been to prove myself as a receiver in this league. And no job is too small for me, but I think that, you know, being a guy that can make plays, you know, for this offense and kind of, you know, carry over, you know, what I did last year in Miami and kind of take another step forward as far as being a receiver and being a guy who can be used on offense.
Trent Sherfield expects to be a part of the offense. So when Sherfield signed with the Bills yesterday, a number of Miami Dolphins players expressed disappointment, including Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill also was upset about the comment he made about going to play with an elite quarterback, wanting to play with an elite quarterback, which
there's no
got
reason
taken
to be,
out yeah. of context, for, of course, but...
What did he say? What did Tyreek Hill get mad about?
Tyreek Hill
I didn't
said...
see him get mad. The comment was, of course, you know, being a receiver, you want to go play with an elite quarterback. He did, of course, say he wanted to return to Miami.
He said, and then, so Tyreek Hill quote tweeted Matt Parrino's tweet with that quote, and then Tyreek Hill said he didn't say that, and then the emoji was the unamused face.
Okay.
So maybe, Matt mad about it, but...
Maybe he was upset that the way that Matt tweeted it seemed to take it out of context, even though it probably didn't.
Or he was saying, like, no, he didn't say that.
Okay. You want to know what he did say about Tua and Josh Allen? So Trent Sherfield was on One Bills Live yesterday, and... talking to Chris and Steve about the decision to sign here. And, you know, a lot of the headlines are about that comment with the elite quarterback.
Yeah.
But he also talked about style of play.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said with Tua, what you have to do is it's all about timing. You got to be in a spot and the ball's coming to where you are. Your job's to get to that spot. It's a timing-based offense. And from the sound of it, you know, if you are a person that thinks Tua is limited, you probably... listen to that and think, yeah, they script the offense for Tua. There's not a lot of off-schedule stuff. You are in your spot where you got to be. The ball's coming. And if you're not there, the ball's going to miss you. And if you look at his touchdown against San Francisco last year, 75-yard touchdown,
yeah,
it's exactly that. It's a timing route. It hits perfectly. And he's
and then
off,
he goes 50 yards.
Yeah, yeah. He's off to the races. He was basically saying in Josh Allen's offense, in the Bills' offense, sure, that's all there, but there's going to be off-schedule stuff. You can create after the fact. You can be more creative, maybe, as a receiver in the Bills' offense than you can in the Miami offense, which I think is fair and not even really an insult.
Right.
Just explaining two different styles, and, you know, the Dolphins play a style that is honed to Tua.
Did you see Tyreek Hill's other tweet about... He tweeted the fearful face and then OMG next to it.
Yeah.
Do we think he's being sarcastic there or no?
No, I think he was...
I was taking that as genuine, but then I was... seeing everybody be like, oh, he's taking a shot at him.
No, you know, players don't take a shot at their teammates leaving. They're mad, they're mad that the team they're on didn't bring them back.
Right, right.
When's the last time a player said good riddance to a person in their own personnel group?
Good question. That can't think
it
of
just
an example.
Doesn't really happen that much.
No, that's right.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. You know, your calls on the Bills on football. Singletary, quick question on Singletary.
Yep.
His best play as a Bill. His most memorable play as a Bill. Right? Drafted in the third round, plays a full 4 years.
Yeah.
Is the starter pretty much the whole time.
Are we talking running plays or could
any,
it be
any play?
Any play at all.
Because the
first thing that came to my head was the touchdown in Dallas.
Yeah, that's actually the first thing that came to my mind too. So John Brown throws a touchdown pass to Devin Singletary.
Wow, okay.
In the Thanksgiving game. But he's like such an afterthought to that play. And also, is it even the top three most popular plays of that game? Or most memorable plays of that game?
It's definitely not number one. Number one's Allen.
Right, the QB sneak.
And number
sure.
two is Allen eating turkey. Yeah.
You know, like. Right. And Singletary's just like, he's just walking, basically, and catches a wide-open pass.
I saw a play from this year where he ran through the Bears, but everybody ran through the Bears this year.
Yep, that's true.
Like Singletary was always a decent back. Nothing about him flashed as elite. There were very few elite traits.
Right.
He was a guy that was productive and fumbled a lot. And Fumbled the most. Kevin Cole at Pro Football Focus had a point that I've never thought of it this way before, but it's very obvious. So this is kind of a little bit of a tangent. We'll get to your calls in just one moment here. Dan Orlovsky was laying out the case for a first-round running back. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN wants the Cowboys to take Bijan Robinson. And Orlovsky went through the last... I know, of course.
Of course.
They just franchise tagged Tony Pollard. Like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Tony Pollard's very, very good.
They finally free Tony Pollard, and they do it just to bring in Bijan Robinson.
I mean, I'll lose
one.
My mind. So, and he lays out the top 10, or the last 10 running backs taken in the first round, and went hits and misses, and hits and misses. And Kevin Cole had a really good point, which is, of all the positions to label hits and misses, running back is one of the easiest hits. Because they don't have to win their matchup to get the ball.
Right.
A lot of times, you just give it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the ball for free. If you are Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis or Dawson Knox, I almost said Dalton Schultz, you need to win your matchup to get the ball.
Right.
If you're a quarterback, you need to find the matchup that has won. And with a running back, it's maybe one of the reasons that they're so popular and so easily liked is because they just get the ball for free every time, and then they have to make it work. And in the case of the Bills, the offensive line, you know, they're not a road-grading offensive line, but Singletary over the last couple of years was part of an offense that, before Ken Dorsey, routinely ran him into light boxes,
yep.
gave him good matchups, and he ran relatively effectively with very little fanfare. I'll go with very little fanfare.
Well, he was a very unique back, and I don't even know if I ever found a good comparison for him in that he was very good at making guys miss in short space, but he just did not have the speed to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Like he would have 15-yard runs where he made four guys miss, where some guys would take it to the house and he just didn't have that extra gear to do it. But he was still efficient enough. I'm still trying to figure out like a play though. It's weird that the guy would have how many touches? 672 carries. 817 touches total.
And your most memorable play, the two of you, was when he caught a pass from a wide receiver.
Right. Like, he's had 16 touchdowns. I mean, did he ever have, like, a game-winning touchdown at the end? Actually, another play that comes to mind again isn't, like, even, like, a look at the skill on display here is when they beat Miami in December in the snow, and he was smart enough to go down at the one-yard line.
Yeah.
But, like, what's the Singletary touchdown even if it's a one-yarder, like, to win it at the end?
He had a couple where he ripped off runs. He had one
against Miami.
Yep.
Last year in Miami.
That was a blitz that they picked up a blitz and
yep.
Allen dumped it over to him. I'll try to remember a few more.
Remember there was the Denver game, but that game was already out of hand when he scored that. It was like 50-yard
yeah.
touchdown.
That sounds right. Kumerow had a touchdown in that game, too.
Yeah.
They blew the doors off of Denver yeah. that day. Rob in Connecticut. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. What's going on, Jeremy, Joe?
What's up, Rob?
Talk to you. You know, not much. You know, I've been listening to you guys every single day. And, you know, my head, it's like a Super Bowl inside my head going back and forth, like, what are we going to do? And I totally agree with everything that you guys have been saying. Like, we don't want him. No, he wouldn't work and this and that. And finally, yesterday, we made some moves that I actually agree with. You know, Sherfield seems to be a nice fit for us. You know, he is a blocker too. I was listening to his live feed
on that. Rob, real quick on that, I saw a video posted of a Brian Baldinger breakdown of Miami running all over the Browns.
Yeah.
And in that package, multiple spots was Sherfield on the field as a dog blocker. Like, he is a receiver that will absolutely block in the run game, which makes me wonder, you know, I'm not saying he's replacing Gabe Davis, but one of the reasons Gabe Davis gets 95% of the snaps is because they trust him in that regard. And could Sherfield lighten his load ever?
To bring him down to, like, 78?
Maybe. Like, give him a break in that department.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the one thing that I like. And, you know, Harris, I was kind of surprised at that, but I think he's gonna definitely fit with Cooks and Hines. That's a great one. But one of my concerns is, what are we going to do at linebacker? That's what I want. I like Wagner, but if we don't get Wagner, I see us getting, like, possibly first round linebacker in the draft. I don't know what you guys feel on that. So as far as the football, I'm so happy with what we're doing. And one of the things I need to ask you, Jeremy, is bouncy house still in the basement or what?
That bounce house is still in the basement. Yeah, Rob. It's still there. Thanks.
Well, have fun with the twins. Guys, it's always a pleasure listening to you guys every single morning, and I will speak with you soon.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I was watching golf the other day in the basement, and the kids are in the bounce house. It's been up since the 11th, their birthday. We're 10 days in. We
haven't ripped the Band-Aid off yet.
We're still living the bounce house life. Hey, until the neighbors call and say they want it back. I mean, you know, it's in good shape.
Sherfield, by the way, his run-blocking grades at Pro Football Focus, 78, 80, 71, 81, 51 is his career. Like, every year except one, he's been one of the best run-blocking receivers in football.
On the linebacker point, listen, I am the conductor, or I consider myself someone.
You're driving the train.
I'm driving
the conductor, right?
Sure, I'm driving the receiver train.
Putting coal in the? Are you the guy shoveling the coal into the engine?
I did it last year. I did it the year before. I've been bullish on receiver for a while. Just like last year, when I said it doesn't have to be first round, I would have second round and be just fine. I'm going to say the same thing this year because the need at linebacker is more glaring than corner two was last year. Last year, corner two was the big topic, right? Well, I've got this hole. I got to get Kyer Elam. That's what they did, especially with the Trey White injury. Well, maybe the corners, the Bills had gotten by with corner twos for 5 years
with very little
anybody.
Yeah,
just throw a guy in there, and you'll be fine. And part of that is Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer being back there. Those two are still there. So I always felt like I could get away without corner two. But the Bills did it, maybe in part because of the Trey White injury. I don't know if they feel like they can get by without linebacker. I want to bring up a tweet here from Deontay Lee. He writes for The Athletic. He's Mount Carmel's defensive coordinator and a staff writer for The Athletic. And his point about linebacker in this draft was just this. And this is something to ask Joe Marino tomorrow. We're going to dig further into linebacker as we go because I would say it might be the favorite for what they do in the first round. But it's going to be specific. So Deontay Lee tweeted, I'm anti-first-round linebackers as a general proposition, save for special athletes. And think about Tremaine Edmonds.
Yep.
Special athlete.
Yep.
Not your typical just, oh, he's a good linebacker. He was long, rangy, can do everything the Bills wanted him to do. Anyway, Deontay Lee went on to say, this draft doesn't have one. It doesn't have the special athlete at linebacker. And, you know, would the Bills go in the first round for a linebacker because they feel like it just works, or treat it like any other position. As we sit here and talk about how you want your receiver room to get younger, the linebacker position has to do that too. I mean, Milano is how many years in and extended to a couple of years. Whether it's Terrell Bernard that they think can do that job, or Baylen Specter, or whoever, I think linebacker is possible in the first round. I don't know if the athlete that they want at the position is going to be there. Is Bobby Wagner an answer? He's not signed yet, which means the money must be modest.
Well, also, you're looking for an upgrade, right, over Terrell Bernard?
Yes. You're looking for something you can count on.
So I guess round one and two, does it matter to you what order they go in? If I told you it's receiver, they will come out with a receiver and a middle linebacker. Does it matter the order?
No.
Because the middle linebacker you would draft in the second round, theoretically, he's still starting. Or the favorite to start, isn't he?
Possibly. I don't want to rule out
that Bernard just starts. Or
There's a lot of questions to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, receiver.
Well, remember, Elam, they drafted in the first round, and if Tre'Davious White was healthy, or he wasn't, but like Benford started over him in week one.
That's right.
So, right, they will do a real competition, but I guess for me, it doesn't matter that much. If you tell me they come away with a receiver in round one or round two, and they want to pair it with a middle linebacker, like they want that to be their first two picks, which I think is the most likely of the combinations, then I'm good wherever they take it, as long as they do it in the first two rounds.
I've got 1 month and 1 week to tell you you should start thinking defensive end more.
I can't
Jim,
do it.
Jim in East Aurora. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love listening to you guys. Seems to me lately Sale has been pushing tight end as one of his needs and wants as a pick. And I know this probably is better suited to ask Sale, and maybe he's changed his opinion with the Sherfield signing and bolstering our receiving corps. Am I missing something? Dawson Knox is one of my favorites, okay, so maybe I'm biased, but he seems reliable. Yeah, he had a rough start to last season. He was dealing with some emotional things there, but once he gets going, he seems reliable. He runs over guys. I'm not sure what else we're looking for in a tight end at this point, so I'll hang up and listen. I just don't know if I'm missing something. Wanted to get your guys' opinion.
I'm not really that on board with the tight end idea because there's two problems for me. One, I don't know how much that player is actually going to see the field and how much that player is going to catch the football. I can't imagine it's going to be all that much. He's going to be a part-time player. He's going to be a backup tight end. And even if the percentage of the snaps for the backup tight end goes up, I don't think that's a major part of the offense. And two, tight ends take forever to develop. There have been two guys in 10 years who have had over 600 yards in their rookie year. Like that, it takes guys a couple of years to really hit their stride. And I'm not against doing some future type of, you know, drafting, but if they're trying to win a Super Bowl this year and I got to wait 2 years for this tight end to really figure things out because that's what the position is, I don't know. I'd rather just pick a receiver. I guess is really my overall point, yeah. Is I'd just rather pick a receiver.
If they go for a tight end early, you'd want a lot more 12 personnel by rule.
And I don't know that I really want more 12 personnel.
I definitely do not.
That's taking a receiver off the field to put a bigger, slower receiver that sometime is going to block. Why do I want that?
Well, depends on the guy. I mean, there are a couple really nice, there might be three, four first-round tight ends in this draft. And, you know, to Sal's point, it's just a different way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it because, same as last year, when they brought in O.J. Howard, it was, okay, interesting. They don't really run a lot of 12. Why, 12 is, you know, two tight ends, one running back, two tight ends. And Josh Allen has been super successful throwing to three receiver sets. And I just want to keep that rolling with the best three receivers I can get. And if I get a tight end in the fifth round, then that's fine. If I'm looking to replace Quentin Morris, okay. Yeah. But I think he played pretty well last year and made some nice catches, and I'm not eager to move on from him. I think a first-round tight end, for me, it would be a surprise.
And isn't the depth at the receiver position only adding to how much they really don't need it? They might want it, but if you're taking a receiver off the field, I got all these guys now, right? Like, I got Hardy, I got Shakir, I got Sherfield, and hopefully there's another one coming. So I feel like with more and more receiver depth they add, the less I have an appetite to see them do more 12 personnel.
803-0550. When we get back, Beckham, one spot he could land, I want to ask you, we are always tracking, who has better weapons than the Bills? And our answer is generally 2 to 3 teams in the AFC right now. Would Beckham to this AFC team put them ahead? I'll ask you because it's another Dan Orlovsky, but whatever. Dan Orlovsky made the case for Beckham landing here being great from a weapon standpoint.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.